Blog Talk Radio.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way, who make a miracle because of my faith. And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able. Tell me who will make a river out of a little stream, and who can tell the clouds to roll back so that the sun can look at me, and who can tell the wind to whistle through the trees? And when I'm in trouble, who's that same God that will come? Never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
Glory, hallelujah. God will never fail. I want to thank Melvin Mitchell and Sister Pam for giving me signals that something wasn't right. And when I saw Sister Pam and what Melvin Mitchell did, I looked in the studio, had to move the mute button on the audio, and I was able to take it off. The record began to play at its time because it comes straight from the studio into your phone, not me having to talk on my phone to go through you all. But God is able, just like the record says. And I just want to thank everybody for joining in with Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple, another Wednesday night. I thank God for the opportunity and each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule. I want you to know the title of the lesson tonight is Jesus is the only true and living God. And because he lives, we all can face tomorrow. We coming out of the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 12 through 28. And at this time, we're going to have our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, come to us in prayer. Sister Pam, your mic is open. Thank you again for letting me know that something was wrong. And
you're welcome.
I thank you for that. And at this time, you could come before us any way that God leads you.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you for affording us the opportunity to come together on this Wednesday night for Bible study and worship. Thank you, O Lord Jesus, for our sister in Christ, our teacher, our intercessor, Minister Diane Adams. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for her faithfulness. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for her wisdom and for her knowledge that comes from you and only you. Thank you for our Bible study. Lord Jesus, I thank you for everybody that calls in, those on the internet and on the phone, every Wednesday night. Father God, I humbly ask that you continue to bless our Bible study. Thank you, O God, for being patient with us while some find our ways back to you. Please, O God, guide us in the direction that you want us to go and help us, O Lord, to stay true and faithful until your return. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and hallelujah.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
And now we can look at our word. Again, the title is Jesus is the only true and living God. And because he lives, we can all face tomorrow. Again, it's coming from the book of Corinthians. If you have your Bible, please find it. The 15th chapter, verses 12 through 28. Glory, hallelujah. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this lesson tonight, because we talked the last two lessons about Jesus preparing for his death, and then we spoke about the crucifixion and being buried in a grave. And, you know, now, you know, Easter is over. The hype in some cases is gone. But I wanted us to take a little time and look at the resurrection and the power thereof. You know, many times people are always talk about the cross and the burial and the suffering of Christ. But I'm going to talk tonight about the resurrection of Christ. You see, I'm going to give you a little intro like I always do. The resurrection of Christ is important for several reasons. First, the resurrection witnesses to the immense power of God himself. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. If God exists and if he created the universe and has power over it, then he has power to raise the dead. Come on, y'all. Jesus was raised from the dead. There's some people might say there were other people raised from the dead. They had a centurion, someone who had a daughter that was sick, and they raised her from the dead. I could tell you another one off the top of my head. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus spoke and Lazarus rose from the dead. But what we have to realize with this, Lazarus at some point still died. The young little girl that was raised from the dead, she died. Jesus rose from the dead and he will never die again. And he's living inside of us. And because he lives, we all can face tomorrow. You know, if he does not have such power, talking about God, he's not worthy of our faith and worship. You know, the Bible teaches and speaks all the way through the Old Testament and even through the New. And Jesus starts speaking about his resurrection as he taught the disciples and walked the earth in his ministry for 3 years. He told them about destroying the temple. That was one of the things got him in a lot of trouble, that he would destroy the temple, but in 3 days build it back. He wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about his body. He was talking about himself. They was going to destroy him on the cross. For 3 days he was going to rise. That's what he was telling them. But they couldn't comprehend it in its fullest. Only he who created life can resurrect it after death. Only he can reverse the horrendous thing that is death. And only he can remove the sting of death and gain the victory over the grave. In resurrection and resurrecting Jesus from the grave, God reminds us of his absolute sovereignty over life and death. Jesus had to die, y'all. But without the resurrection, come on, we wouldn't have a God inside of us. We wouldn't have a God sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. The cross would have took away the sins, but when, where would the justification and everything else be established? You see, the resurrection is the core of the Christian message and should never be neglected or assumed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is also important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be, namely the Son of God, the Messiah. You see, according to Jesus, his resurrection was a sign from heaven that authenticated his ministry. The resurrection of Jesus, attested to by thousands of eyewitnesses, provide infallible proof that he is the Savior of the world. You see, when Jesus died and he rose, many of you know what happened and some of you may not. After Jesus resurrected from the grave, he started walking the earth and revealing his resurrected body to men, to people. Jesus walked the earth 40 days after he rose from the grave, and there were so many sightings of him. You see, God always want to authenticate and give enough evidence to believe, because you see, the Romans who had crucified him, they put the big stone at the gate of the tomb so nobody could go in there and get him, and they could prove that he died and he didn't rise. Come on, y'all. And when it did happen, the soldiers that were there had to go report that he was gone. The authorities told him, look, don't tell anybody that. Tell them that the disciples came and stole his body, to try to say he's still dead. We just don't have the body because they stole it. They made up stories, y'all. That's how people do today. They make stories to cover up stuff. They didn't want the true story of him really resurrecting from the dead. You know, that he was able to come out because the angels came and rolled away the stone. Come on, y'all. the resurrected Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ not only validates his dignity, but it also validates the Old Testament prophecy that foretold of Jesus' suffering and resurrection. You see, they always talked about it, and everything that they prophesied about had to be fulfilled. So the resurrection, and when it happened, it fulfilled the prophecy that had went forth in his name. And Jesus, the Christ, also authenticated his own claim that he would rise from the third day. See, Jesus said it, and it had to come to pass. See, the resurrection was necessary for all of these things. Let us not forget the resurrection, because that's when Jesus resurrected from the grave, the word of God said that he rose with all power in his name. Power for what? Power to complete the assignment that his Father had given him. If Jesus is not resurrected, then we have no hope that we will be either. You see, our hope is in our resurrection, being resurrected by Jesus Christ, that we can live eternally with him. So Jesus resurrected from the dead to give us hope and the blessing of insurance that, yes, God can raise people from the dead. Because if Jesus hadn't resurrected, we would feel that way back then, over 2,000 years ago, it was all said and done, cut and dry, all over. But we know it's not over because of the resurrection. In fact, apart from Christ's resurrection, if he hadn't resurrected, we would have no Savior. We would have no salvation, and we would have no hope of eternal life. See, Paul said our faith would be useless and the gospel would be altogether powerless and our sins would remain unforgiven. We talk about the suffering. We talk about the crucifixion. We talk about nailing to the cross. We talked about staying in a borrowed tomb. But let us talk about the resurrection and the power thereof. You see, the word of God guarantees us, the believers, resurrection at the coming of Christ for his church at the rapture. You see, if Jesus wouldn't die, we wouldn't have a rapture. Come on, y'all. Understand the significance of the resurrection. Such assurance results in a great song of triumph, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ took the sting out of death? Come on, y'all. As Christian, we know that God became man, that he died for our sins and was resurrected on the third day. The grave could not hold him. He lives and he sits today at the right hand of the Father in heaven because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, I just want to throw this in. See, Jesus had to rise because his earthly ministry was completed. Him becoming the Lamb of God and being a sacrifice for mankind was completed. We often say he died and hung on the cross in 3 days. He rose from the dead. And that's not how the story ends. We say when he was crucified. But even with his resurrection, the story haven't been told. Jesus still have work to do, and he's doing it from his heavenly throne next to his Father. God is working in our, Jesus is working in our behalf. He's interceding for us in prayer. He's our healer, our savior, our deliverer. Hallelujah. He's the great I am. Jesus is our all in all. Jesus made a way for us to be righteous, and he bridged the gap between us and God, and Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm glad he became a living sacrifice. Yes, I'm glad he took away the sins of the world. Yes, I'm glad he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Yes, I'm glad he's working it out for our good and that he gave us this great gift of grace. And yes, I'm glad he bestows us with his mercy. But I thank God tonight for the resurrection and the power thereof. So if we go into the scripture, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and we're going to start at the 12th verse, and it reads, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain." You see, that's what I'm talking about, the resurrection. If Jesus had not resurrected, what would we be talking about? And where would we place our faith? If Jesus didn't resurrect to be able to come back to get us, that we could live eternally with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then where would we place our faith? Faith would also be in vain. You see, we have to understand that some of the Corinthians who Paul was writing to, you know, Paul was writing to the church in Corinthians. He wrote two letters or epistles to them, and the letters it's a letter or epistle he wrote to the church in Corinthians because they was having difficulty understanding things. He wrote to the Corinthians, and like I say, he wrote two letters, and we are inside of the first letter, 1 Corinthians, but they were having difficult believing or fully understanding. And you see, some Jews in the Corinthian church formerly may have been influenced by the Sadducees, who did not believe in a resurrection, even though it was taught in the Old Testament. You see, the Sadducees was a sect. They was religious and supposed to be well knowledgeable of the Word of God. Back then, they had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Republicans and all of these sects, that the people looked up to as the ones that had knowledge, with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and truth about the things of God. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection, and it caused friction among them. They were always at odds against each other, each one of them trying to be the best in the West, and they had friction all the time. But it's amazing how the Pharisees and the Sadducees were able to come together, because both of them had a beef with Jesus Christ. See, people were getting to know Jesus, and they were following him, and they were praising him, and they were talking about him, and Jesus was taking away some of their thunder. So part of the reason they wanted him dead, because of jealousy. They believed they was losing a grip on those they thought they had power over. So some, you know, that followed the Sadducees, and they were being taught that there's no resurrection. You see, the dead and a burial has great significance, as I said over, as I said earlier. But we should never give less, but even greater significance to the resurrection. You see, Jesus rose with all power in his hand, ascended back to the Father, and is sitting at the right hand of him, interceding for us. Jesus also told us, yes, I will rise, and I'm going to walk the earth for 40 days after my resurrection, that people will know that I am alive and living. You know, one of his disciples said that he wouldn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. His name was Thomas. Y'all know Doubting Thomas. Unless he could put his finger in the holes on his hand. Come on, y'all. Jesus, that's why Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, because he wants them to be able to teach the resurrection with power as eyewitnesses. And they could say, I'm not telling you what someone said. I'm telling you what I saw. Because without the resurrection, the disciples wouldn't have nothing to preach about, and then they wouldn't believe in the resurrection, and we wouldn't have a church today. The power of the resurrection, y'all. John, in John 14 and 1, this is Jesus speaking. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it wasn't so, I would have told you. Now, this is Jesus talking. Now, he knew he was going to die. So he's talking about after his resurrection, the work that he would be doing. Hallelujah, y'all. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this is after he resurrected, y'all. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's words from Jesus. He was letting us know that he must rise to finish the work that his Father had assigned to him. He lets us know that there is still more work to be done. Y'all know it's more work to be done. Jesus got to rapture his people. He's got to reign in the New Jerusalem. Come on, y'all. And he's going to be the one that execute the final judgment. Because you see, the last enemy is death. And Jesus is going to destroy it. If we look at verse 15 through 18 and 19, it say, ye and we are found false witnesses of God. Because ye and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. He's saying if we say it and then Jesus didn't rise, we'll be false witnesses. If so be that the dead not rise. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not rise? And if Christ be not rise, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sin. Listen to that, y'all. Talking about the resurrection and the power thereof. He said in 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. That's the scripture. See, he's talking about the dead in Christ is going to rise. There's a lot of teaching about the rapture and the raising of the dead in the book of Thessalonians, if you want to dig deeper. go to Thessalonians where Paul taught, because the Thessalonians, I'm talking about these churches in the letters, the Thessalonian people had a problem because they wanted to know what happened to their loved ones when they died. Come on, y'all. And Paul told them, when Jesus come back, the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ, those who believe in Christ, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those that are still living on earth will be taken up and meet Jesus in the air. And those in Christ couldn't be raptured if there's no resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the light. In that statement, claimed to be source of both, the resurrection and the light. There is no resurrection apart from Jesus, no eternal life. Jesus does not give life. He is life, and that's why death has no power over him. Jesus conferred his life on those who trust him so we can share his triumph over death. We who believe in Jesus Christ will personally experience resurrection because we have life Jesus gives, having the life that Jesus gives. We have overcome death. It is impossible for death to win. And how are we going to do it? If we go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 53, it says, for this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then it shall come to pass the same that is written, that I read earlier. Oh, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, y'all. This is because of the sacrifice made in this life, in light of hope of life to come. If there is no life to come, we would be better just to eat, drink, and be merry. You wouldn't have to be trying to get right for an afterlife. Y'all know there's so many people believe when you're dead, you're done. So they're not trying to have a savior. They are saying it's nothing to be saved from or for. Come on, y'all. But if there was no eternal life, what would we be working towards? Where would our hope be placed? Verse 20 through 23, they say, but now if Christ risen from the dead and become of them that sleep. Now watch that word there, the first fruit of them that sleep. Out of everybody that had died up until that time when Jesus had, up until the time when Jesus had resurrected, he was the first fruit that resurrected and didn't die again and is living eternally. That's why they say the first fruit of them that slept. 21, for since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. You see, sin came by man, and it's going to give a little bit in the next verse, and I'll talk after that. Because verse 22 say, For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Adam brought sin in the world, which was attached to sin was death. And Jesus brought life, and life more abundantly. Adam brought in death, Jesus brought in life. One man brought it in, we needed a man. That's why Jesus had to allow himself to be wrapped up in flesh. God incarnated into Jesus, allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. Because if Jesus was going to become the sacrifice for man, they had to have a man to sacrifice for mankind. That's why Jesus had to be fully man and fully God. And he had to have blood, because, you know, Jesus is a spirit and God is a spirit. But it had to bleed blood to take away the sins. So one man, Adam, brought it in, and they needed a man to take it out, and that's why Jesus became fully man and fully God. But every man in his own order, the scripture says. Christ, the first fruit, afterward, they that are in Christ that is coming. They say, you know, it's going to happen for all of us if we believe in Christ. But look what the scriptures say. This is cute. But every man in his own order, Christ is the first fruit. He done already did it. But afterwards, they that are in Christ that is coming, we're going to be resurrected too. Glory, hallelujah. Verse 24 and 25 and 26. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rules and all authority and power. See, in the end, Jesus is going to return the kingdom to God. Come on, y'all. They say when we die at a point, Jesus is going to take all of us to God. He's going to deliver us to God. That's the scripture that he says. Everyone that you have given me, I've lost not one except Judas. Come on, y'all. Jesus is going to present us to the Father. Oh, happy day. 25, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his. See, that's the work that Jesus is doing. And there's more work to be done. 26, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But you got to believe it to conceive it. Do you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power thereof and what it means to us? Do we really cherish the resurrection? You know, I often think about many things that we thank God, Jesus, for. But I like to add them to my list. Like when I learned about the veil being torn from the top to the bottom, you know, I like to say, thank you, Jesus, for removing the veil. Hallelujah. You know, and now, you know, I like to say, thank you, Jesus, for the resurrection. Thank you, God, really, for resurrecting your son. Come on, y'all. Thank you. But you got to know it to be thankful for it. And tonight I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead after he laid in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day he rose with all power in his hands. You see, there's a scripture in Revelation, the 11th chapter and the 15th verse says, and the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Then cometh the end. See, Paul is talking about then cometh the end, and I found the scripture where in Revelation, Jesus was telling John what to write in Revelation. He said, and then comes the end. This involved the restoration of the earth to the rule of Christ. See, Christ is going to rule on this earth. And he's going to have us with us. And he's going to be the rightful king. You know, in this scripture, in the scripture that I read before that in Corinthians, they say the end can refer not only to what is over, but to what is complete and fulfilled. if we look at 27:28, it says, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected. That he is expected and accepted, which did put all things under him. 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, God is going to, Jesus is going to reign, y'all. God is giving all power, not power over God. That's what we got to remember. God is giving Jesus power. But nothing trumps God. And God and Jesus is the same one. I think Jesus was asked, let me figure out, remember how it went, when Jesus said, like him, he's not trying to have power, you know, him and his father don't have any conflicts about power. But Jesus is going to have the ministry of reigning over the kingdom. Come on, y'all, because they say it's going to put God is going to put everything under his feet. They say, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. God is going to give him the power, but he's going to be under subjection to the Father who had given him the power. Is what the scripture is saying. Jesus is going to be the great shepherd, our great priest. Jesus is our all in all, just like the scripture said, that God may be all in all. There's a scripture in Ephesians 1st chapter 20 and 22nd verse. They say, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, and to the church. Glory, hallelujah. John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And you see, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, when you always say all things, it was all by God's grace. Jesus is grace. All things by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, when Jesus is spoken of as the Son, that has to do with him being in the flesh of man on this earth. And when Jesus was in the flesh of man, he was subject to the Father. In fact, Jesus was the Son while he was in here on earth as our Savior. In heaven, before he came to earth, he was the Word of God, the one who knew, the one we know as Jesus is eternal spirit, the same as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in heaven. Therefore, Christ will continue to rule because his reign is eternal. But he will reign in his former, full, and glorious place within the Trinity, subject to God in the way eternally designed for him in full Trinitarian glory. The Holy Spirit is going to have jobs to do. Jesus expressed he has to reign And God the Father is still going to be the Father. And there's work for us to do as well. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power thereof. I thank God for the resurrection. I thank God that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. I thank God that Jesus rose with all power in his hands. And he stayed on earth for 40 days and gave enough evidence that he had risen so that we can have witnesses and believe. I thank God that one day we will all be raptured at God's appointed time. We will be resurrected with non-perishable bodies. Let me see if I'm saying that right. We will be the perishable and the imperishable. Well, the corrupt, we will take off the corrupt bodies and put on an incorruptible body. And we will live eternally with our Father, his Son, and his Spirit. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you could speak them at this time. Anybody have any comments about the resurrection? If not, we could have our benediction.
The benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Jesus is coming back, y'all. Amen. And just as God resurrected him from the grave, that's how he's going to resurrect us from this evil and dark world. That's how he's going to take us where he is. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you're going to be also. Jesus is preparing a home for us, and we must realize and take it serious that we are being prepared here for the prepared place, because we are often told that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And while we are here on earth, this is our preparation ground. And as Jesus told in a parable, it should be our desire for to hear the Father say to us, my servant, well done. And that's it for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, you will meet back on next Wednesday. I just want you to know how much God loves each and every one of us. Jesus resurrected from the dead that he could live inside of us. He's walking and talking with us. He's leading and guiding us. He's even convicting us in the things of God. I thank God for the resurrection. Until next Wednesday, everybody be blessed. And may God be with you until we meet again. Good night.
Good night.